Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my longtime good colleague, Lev Galenkin, writing for The Nation magazine about a controversy that connects directly to the war in Ukraine and the fight against the Russian aggressor, but also involves Canada in the news and either claims of ignorance or claims of perpetuating falsehoods is the best we can make out of the fact that a Canadian broadcasting company allowed on air a man associated with the Ukraine fight who had tattoos and symbols suggestive of neo-Nazi behavior and neo-Nazi affiliations. To help me tell this story is Lev Galenkin, originally from Kharkov, which is a frontline city in the battle in Ukraine. Lev is now here in the United States and helps me understand the many connections Ukrainians have to a disgraceful past. Lev, a very good evening to you. The Canadian incident. CBC interviews a man about tactics used on the front line in Ukraine. He asserts that he is a combat veteran. What is it that you can see in camera before the CBC blurted out? Good evening to you.
Good evening. You can see two giant red swastikas on his forearm and his elbow. They're very difficult to miss. And viewers of this clip saw it and started circulating pictures of it online, saying, look, this is who the Canadian government is interviewing. And when they saw it, the solution was to put a blur on the photo, on the camera, over the swastikas, which is, I mean, insane. Just think of it, John. It's instead of the... What they're saying is the problem is not that we interviewed a neo-Nazi. The problem is that it was too obvious.
What do we know about the speaker's division back in Ukraine? What did he belong to?
The third Separate Assault Brigade, which is commanded by Andriy Beletsky, who is Ukraine's most infamous neo-Nazi. He was an ex-neo-Nazi leader of a gang called Patriot of Ukraine, who now commands tens of thousands of men. And this man is in his, he's now a trainer in the 3rd Separate Assault Brigade.
And he's in Canada as a trainer, a recruiter, because there's a very large Ukrainian population in the diaspora in Canada.
Yeah, he was still in Ukraine, but he was interviewed, presented as a hero by the Canadian government media. And yes, there's a giant Canadian-Ukrainian diaspora. They make up about 2% of the population, I think.
And these facts would be known to the Canadian-Ukrainian population when they saw those tattoos? They would recognize what it was?
I don't think anybody... Those red swastikas, I think anybody who knows what a swastika is would recognize it.
We need to do some history now because Lev has layers and layers of symbols that have become anathema over the decades since the Second War. The Third Separatist Assault Brigade uses symbols that associate them with the Wehrmacht, the Nazi Wehrmacht, but the worst part of it. The 3rd Waffen SS Panzer Division, if I have it correctly, was responsible for massacres in Kharkov in 43, originally in 41, but in 43. You grew up in Kharkov. Part of your education was the statues to stop the 3rd Waffen SS, whose symbol was the Totenkopf. Is that all correct, Lev?
Yeah, the city was, you couldn't walk to get groceries. You couldn't walk to school without walking past either a monument or a plaque or a killing ground. you couldn't go anywhere. The history was just all around you. It's being in a land with a thousand ground zeros. So there was no way that you could escape it. It was just part of you. You took it in with your mother's milk.
Lev is the author of a memoir, A Backpack, A Teddy Bear, and 8 Crates of Vodka, when he and his parents escaped the Soviet brutality in the late 20th century. His mother was a psychiatrist. His father was an engineer. Lev's family includes his grandfather, who made T-34 tanks and evacuated when the Wehrmacht swept into Ukraine. This is in 40, 41 to 42, 43, 44. Brutal battles. Ukraine lost 20 million of the something like 60 million lost in the so-called Soviet Union once upon a time. The reason I'm giving all these facts is an adult in any combat capacity in Ukraine right now would have all of this at hand, would be stories that he was told by his parents. Do you agree, Lev?
Yes.
You were told by your parents. So we cannot presume that the man being interviewed on CBC was ignorant of those symbols. We can't guess that he copied them out of some comic book.
Yeah, it's very difficult to think that a man in a division that already has a lot of neo-Nazi associations, that's run by a neo-Nazi, happens to have swastikas because he's an ancient sun solar pagan worshiper, or he's a fan of ancient Indian symbols. It's ludicrous. He knows exactly what he's doing.
What did CBC say when it was pointed out? I know they blurred it, but what did they say about interviewing a man who's associated?
They said he was provided to us, and we didn't platform him, which is strange because they said, why are you platforming him? And they said we didn't platform him, and we didn't present him as a hero, which is a very different story when you actually look at it. And he's presented as a member and a trainer of an elite unit fighting against the shadowy war with Russia. So CBC did not appear to be concerned at all about the fact that they platformed a neo-Nazi. The only problem was editing out the tattoos that made it a little too obvious.
Lev's piece cites several instances of the Canadian government over a lengthy period of time seeking to either claim ignorance of or to avoid the facts of former Nazi killers emigrating to Canada and living out their lives in Canada. Most recently, of course, there was the striking incidents of a man named Hunka. Who is he, Lev? Who is he?
He was a member of the SS Galician, which is a unit in the Waffen-SS. It was a unit of Waffen-SS with a record of war crimes. He swore allegiance to Hitler like everybody else in the unit. He was trained by the SS. He was paid by the SS. He was armed by the SS and commanded by the SS. And a couple of years ago, Professor Ivan Kachinovsky in Toronto and I helped break the story of this man getting a standing ovation in the Canadian's House of Commons. So this is this country that lost tens of thousands of people. Canada lost tens of thousands of people in World War II, applauding a Nazi collaborator on Canadian soil in Parliament. And that was a scandal that went around the world, I think. And for a second, it looked like Canada was going to address its past because they said, we're sorry, the Speaker of the House of Commons resigned. And then they said, we might even release the records of these men that we took in. And then everything completely changed. There were defenses of him in the news. A Canadian newspaper ran the quote that said they were in the wrong time at the wrong place. The Waffen-SS was in the wrong time at the wrong place. Not the people that they massacred, but the Waffen-SS.
The detail that's important to me is that I believe Zelensky was present in the chamber when they had Hunka stand up and gave him an ovation. Is there any way that Zelensky could not have known the facts?
I find it extremely difficult. And let me put it this way. Afterwards, when he definitely knew the fact, he didn't even apologize. He'd said nothing. He said nothing about it.
And there's a reason for that. He is beholden to and surrounded by men who, I'm going to guess, have those tattoos.
Yes, exactly. He has a choice. If he speaks out, I don't think even he knows what's going to happen to him. So what he winds up doing is he winds up appeasing this. He winds up ignoring it, and he winds up serving as the best possible cover for the men with tattoos, with swastika tattoos, because he's a Jew, and they say, "Listen, you know, we have a Jewish commander in chief. How can any of this be true?"
A detail here: is there any way Brussels could not know this? NATO could not know this. Is there any way the DOD in Washington could? Is there any way we can imagine they've remained ignorant?
No.
All right.
And they even unearthed, I believe it was The Walrus, a Canadian newspaper that unearthed communication saying that we know that these people are radicals inside the Canadian military, saying we know that they're radicals. So it's a question of he's our radical. He's our man in Havana. These are our men in Kyiv. Our men in Kyiv.
Let's cross the front line. Is there any way the Russians don't know this? Is there any way the Kremlin doesn't know this, that they're fighting Nazis?
The Kremlin knows perfectly well. What they do, unfortunately, is they twist it and they say everybody in Ukraine is a Nazi, which, of course, it's not. There are Nazis and Nazi components in the armed forces. But what the Kremlin is doing is also propaganda on its end, because Putin, one of the most important things for him is to unify the country, to unify Russia. And what he's doing is he's using the memory of World War II. He's using the memory of the country coming together and fighting Nazism in order to unite Russia in 2025. So in many, many ways, both sides are using the ghosts of 1941, 1942, while fighting a hot war in 2025.
And since your article about Hunka, your work on Hunka, now you've got this piece on the CBC claiming ignorance and then attempting to cover up. Has there been any explanation that's adequate from the Canadian government? Anybody restated the matter? They've had several elections since then.
No, they simply ignore it. And I'll put it this way, John. When it comes to releasing records of Canada's documents of harboring Nazi criminals, they're literally behind Argentina. Argentina has released their records. The country that's most infamous for this is ahead of Canada, which after the Hunka scandal said that we're going to release the records and then went back on it and said, we're not going to do this. So it's astounding the degree to which they protect these monsters to this day.
And continuing, Lev Galinkin writing the cover piece for the Nation magazine, which is directed by our good friend Katrina Venenhovo. However, it's important now to recover what Kharkiv is when Lev grew up there and what it is today. We're not attempting, as Lev says, to say that Ukrainian forces are Nazis, in no fashion. We're being articulate about what Ukrainians know during the battles that they're fighting against the Russians. When we come back, Kharkiv.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.